All right, so tonight we're on Chapter 9, The Devil's Plan for Mismanagement, okay? And so, this is the last lesson in the first section of here where it's kind of laying out a lot of the basic ideas of this, okay? And so, this is very important. We want to learn these principles because we really want to recognize that what we're talking about is a trap that we fall into so often, so easily as believers. Okay? That we think we're doing right, but we're actually being led astray by the devil. We want to recognize this and try to avoid it and have the right attitude. Okay, and that's the thing. The devil, what he does, God has his system of management we want to learn and we want to live with. But the devil comes and tempts us and tries hard to change, get us to try to change our own behavior rather than following God's plan to exchange our behavior. And so when that happens, he's engaged in his plan of mismanagement. Okay? So, as we begin, when Christ returned to heaven after his resurrection, the Holy Spirit came into the lives of God's children with power from on high. The Messiah had come just as God had promised, and through his death and resurrection, the penalty for sin had been paid, and the power of sin had been broken. And the veil in the temple that separated man from the Holy of Holies was torn apart, and that symbolized that man could once again enjoy a dynamic, personal love relationship with the Creator. There was that barrier because of our sin, right? But when Jesus took away our sin, that barrier was torn from the top to the bottom. God said, you can come in, the sin is taken care of, you can have a relationship with me once again. Okay? But we want to realize that was a great defeat for the devil, but the devil didn't give up just because of that defeat. He still wants to control God's creation. And so he lost the power that he had gained when man's spirit died because of sin, now that Jesus had brought the birth of our new spirit. And so in order to regain his control, the devil needed to gain power over the internal decision-making process within God's new creation. Okay? And so, we would ask, well, how would he be able to do that? Would he need some new and elaborate plan to tempt man? And the fact is, no. He went back to the very same plan that worked against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so what it does is he offers the children of God today the same system of mismanagement that he tempted Adam and Eve with. An acquisition of information about God rather than a personal relationship with God. Okay? And so, everybody got this page here?
Yeah.
Okay? So, Satan, of course, has control of the lost world. In his darkness, he tries to keep people blind to the light of the gospel. And when we think of that, 2 Corinthians 4:4, if the gospel be hid to them or lost, whom the God of this world hath blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, right? But, of course, once people are saved and they become God's children, he loses that dominion over them. And he cannot remain when the Holy Spirit of God comes in to live in the new believer. The light casts out the darkness, no matter how great the darkness is. So what does the devil do to regain his control? Okay, once again, the devil tries to deceive man through outside pressure to reject spirit control for soul control. Okay, but in his subtlety, he offers man good soul control. And so to understand how this temptation works, we need to review what happens when a person becomes a Christian. Okay, so everybody got that? Okay, so at the moment of salvation, our spirit comes alive and the Holy Spirit comes to live within the new believer. The power over sin, power sin had over the soul, is destroyed. Okay? The lure and allure of sin is minimized. And as a believer offers himself a sacrifice that is alive, his mind is transformed from gathering information to building a personal relationship. And so this transformation conforms him to the image of Christ. So then, as he makes a choice to serve God rather than to serve sin, he submits to the Holy Spirit and he becomes more like Jesus. And so this is the crucified Christian life. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." It's not what the flesh wants, it's what the Spirit wants, right? But, of course, the devil wants us to have a different kind of relationship, okay? All right, I'll get you those three there so you can fill those in. Let me know when you've got all of those. You good? Okay. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm not sure why, but I'm missing A for some reason, so I will just lay out what A is. Okay, so the devil's goal is to influence us through outside pressures to overlook the importance of the transformation process to your confirmation in the Christ image. Okay? The importance of the transformation process to your confirmation in Christ's image, right? So this is for number A there, letter A. His plan looks good. In fact, it will seem to be leading you right at first. Okay? But in the end, the lack of an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ will doom you to failure. Okay? So it looks good at first, but in the end, the lack of an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ will doom you to failure. Okay? And so there's an illustration of how this process usually fails. Okay, what? Failure. Okay? So I'm not sure why it's missing letter A there. I'll have to check that out. Okay, so this is an illustration of how this process usually fails. Okay? So we begin. A lost man believes the information of the cross and accepts Christ as his Savior. Okay? And when that happens, his justification is settled forever at that moment. Okay? So once he trusts in Christ, he's always saved. He's never going to lose his salvation. We understand that, right? Okay, everybody ready? Sure why I did that. Okay, so then next, he is sanctified, okay, but the benefits of sanctification have not yet been experienced, okay? And so the devil comes and he tempts the young believer, okay? And he tempts him away from building an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And his focus instead, the young believer is basically switches from trying to build an intimate personal relationship with Christ into inquiring all the information he can about Christ. And so that's the thing, is a person wants to fill their heads with knowledge. They want to become essentially theologians. And they think that's the answer. That's what they're supposed to do. Okay? And so what happens is a young believer turns to the pastor and says, well, what are the rules? What are the rules for my life, my wife, and my kids? How am I supposed to act? What can I say? When should I say it? How do I dress? How do my kids dress? How do I wear my hair? How should I spend my time? How should I spend my money? How can I go to the movies? Can I rent videos at least? And so it's always finding out what are the rules, and I'm going to try to follow these rules. Okay? That's kind of the idea. All right? And so that's what we see. There's a difference that we want to understand, that it's a devil's trap that a person's falling into. That you're conforming. There's a difference between conforming by transforming versus conforming by performing. Okay? So we want to understand that. The believer asks, what are the rules? Okay? And when he's asking that, he's falling into the devil's trap. Okay? Because rather than conforming by transforming, he is conforming by performing. And the problem is that performing will never lead to consistent behavioral modification. Okay? And so we want to realize that. That God never intended that the Old Testament law was to be a performance standard. It's to basically bring us to Christ to show us we needed Him. But it's not something that we're supposed to try to govern ourselves by. But we realize that's exactly what the Pharisees had turned it into. Okay? So the Pharisees, they surround the law with so many traditions and additional rules that it made it something very different from what it was meant to be. Okay? That they basically had all these safeguards, why we want to keep this law, so we have these extra laws to make sure we keep the law. And just adding and adding and adding. But Jesus said of them that they were making the word of God of none effect through their tradition. Okay? And just as God did not intend for man to perform under the law before Christ's death, He does not intend for man to perform to please Him under grace either. Okay? And so we want to realize that it's, He's trying to teach us something through it all, and we don't want to miss that. So performing rather than transforming only pleases the spectators. Okay? So if you're doing God's work in your own power, what it does is it causes the Lord not to watch. Okay? And this is not in the notes, but it's interesting because Jesus says in John 15, He says, without Me, ye can do nothing. Okay? And we have to realize the truth of that in a couple different ways. Like, we need His help for everything. We're absolutely dependent on Him. But the fact is, we can think of it in a different way. There's a whole lot of stuff we can do without Him. We can perform, we can put on a big kind of like performance with all the different bells and whistles and song and dance and everything else. And people can even build churches and do great things in their own strength. But we want to realize that in God's eyes, all that we did without Him is nothing. Okay? It's the idea we see later on in Corinthians, where it talks about putting things on the foundation that Christ has built. We can put on gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? And what we do is going to be tried by fire. That if it's wood, hay, and stubble, if the stuff that's done in our own strength without Him, it's going to be burned. It's not going to count for anything. But the stuff that's done in His strength by His Spirit will be the gold, silver, precious stones. It's going to pass through the fire and it's going to still be there. It's going to last, and we're going to be rewarded. And so we want to understand that, that if we're trying to do things to impress God in our own strength, it's not going to impress Him at all. Okay? It's not the way He wants us to live. Okay? And so try, but that's the thing is, it really, you want to think about it. If we're doing the work of the Lord in our own power, He's not watching us. We've turned our back on Him in order to face the people we're trying to please or impress. And that's why Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." If we're doing things to be seen of others, we don't get any reward for it. Okay? And we want to understand is that when someone is performing for those that are watching, okay, eventually people are going to stop watching, and then eventually you're going to stop performing, okay? And the truth is, if you perform for the approval and for the applause of man, the devil has already gained control of your life. Okay? And so this can be especially dangerous when the devil uses fellow Christians as spectators. Okay? And they start placing outside pressure on you. They want you to control your behavior, and they do not believe you can without their help. So they try to control your behavior with a set of rules, steps, and boundaries. And what they do is they may bring about good works, but they're actually dead works. Okay? And so we want to realize that. If it's not, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Right? That we can do a lot of good things in our own strength, in our own power, but they're going to be dead works. Right? And so, it doesn't mean it's wrong to follow a set of rules, but if we're following the rules to obtain a level of righteousness, we fall into the devil's trap. Okay? You can never conform when you perform. Okay? And that's the thing, is we're not just to try to act like Jesus. Okay? If we do, we're just a bunch of bad actors. Okay? Instead, we are to have Him live His life through us, where we are like Jesus. Okay? And so it's a personal relationship with God that conforms us in the image of God. And this is real behavior modification. It never comes from performing by performing. Okay? Excuse me. So now we want to understand the search for information about God must always be secondary to developing your personal relationship with God. Okay? So that's the thing, is it's not just accumulating facts, accumulating knowledge, becoming wise in different things about doctrine and theology. It's developing that relationship. That has to come first. Okay? So conforming by first transforming produces a strong relationship between your spirit and the spirit of God. Okay? Conforming by performing brings frustration, confusion, and ultimately failure. Okay? And so being transformed produces a level of righteous living that following a set of rules will never be able to develop. Righteous living is a byproduct of a personal relationship with God produces Christian joy. Okay? Where he says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Okay? And so the Christian life is supposed to be filled with joy and not with drudgery. Okay? And if it is, we know something's not right. Okay? But the thing is too many believers struggle without the joy of the Lord. And we'd ask, well, why? And it's because they've fallen into the devil's snare of trying to perform to gain acceptance. Okay? And so we must never do that. We must never try to perform to gain acceptance, because it's just a trap of the devil. And so we want to look at the difference between conforming by transforming and conforming by performing step by step. Okay? So, number 7. So conforming by transforming is yielding to internal influence. Okay? So to start with, the Holy Spirit of God communicates to the spirit of man what he thinks, feels, and wants us to do in a particular circumstance. Okay, so this takes place in the inner man where the Spirit dwells with our spirit. Okay? So, as that happens, as God's Spirit communes with our spirit, then the spirit of man processes that truth and communicates it clearly to the soul. Okay? So that's how it works. From God to our, God's spirit to our spirit to the soul. Okay? But then the devil, he counters God's plan with an external influence. And usually, it's with something that's good, but not what God has in mind. Or with something bad. Okay? And so, we're in this circumstance of life, and God says go this way. Satan gives us all these other options. Some are good and some are bad. And it's kind of that thing where God says we're to prove things that are excellent. Okay, we're not just picking. We definitely want to pick the bad, but we're not just focusing on it's not bad, so it's okay. We want to always pick the excellent, right? Okay, so that outside influence of the devil causes the body of man to negotiate with the soul to reject the spirit's leading and give in to sinful wishes. Okay? And so the body has to negotiate now because sin no longer has power over a believer's soul. And so then the redeemed soul must then choose, just as Adam and Eve did, between something that will strengthen his walk with God or something that's going to hinder it. Okay? And the thing is as the inner man is strengthened through a personal relationship with God, the soul will, by faith, reject the body and yield his members as instruments of righteousness. Okay? And so this happens when he dies to his body's desires, which is a daily process, and he yields to the life of Christ. And when that happens, Christ's life can then be lived and expressed through our life. Okay? And so, since the soul has submitted to the spirit, it commands the body to do as God leads. So the body then steps forward on the right path. By faith, the believer is walking after the spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Okay? And so thus the believer is living according to the will of God. And so we want to look at that idea and think this is Christian living 101. This is what we have to understand of just the basics of living the Christian life. This is how we're to do it, how God wants us to do it. Okay, and if a believer that lives this way enjoys Christian liberty in his life, and as a byproduct of that, he's enjoying the fruits of a dynamic Christian life. He's finding being able to love and have joy and peace and faith and other things, okay? And so a believer living in this way does great damage to the devil's domain. Okay? When you live this way, you are a threat to the devil. And so we want to realize is that he's trying as much to prevent us from living that way as he can. See, this is the way God wants for us to live, but the devil has a different way he wants us to live. Okay? And so instead of conforming by transforming and yielding to internal influences, we are conforming by performing, yielding to outside influences. Okay? And so, as believers, we face circumstances in life, and the author refers to them as whammies, so things that are difficult, that kind of hit us, and we have to respond a certain way. And those circumstances require us to make choices. And so we need a leading from God to determine our direction. We say, "What God, what do you want me to do?" And so this leading comes from the internal influence of the Holy Spirit found in our inner man. Okay? And if we are patient, whoops. Okay, I'm not sure why it won't show letter B, but I'll just give it to you. If we are patient, open to the Lord's leading, we will receive that direction. So then our spirit communicates that guidance from God to our soul. Okay? But the devil tries to influence us away from God's leading through outside pressures. And we see that as a child of God, he usually doesn't tempt us with a bad influence. He's more likely to offer us an option that is good, but it's not what God wants. It's not his best. It's actually contrary to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So he tries to give us direction in such a way as to deceive us into thinking that it comes from God and will result in good. And so he offers us a different good to replace God's good. Okay? So the body transmits, whoops. The body then transmits this good yet fleshly alternative to the soul. And so the soul is faced with a choice between two things, okay, that each that seem good, but one of these choices will strengthen his relationship with God, the other will weaken his relationship with God. So only the choice that comes from God will build your relationship with him. The other, even though it is apparently good, comes from an evil spirit. Okay? So, the soul of a performer has knowledge of God, and possibly even a lot of knowledge. Okay? But, because he is focused on performing for others, his personal relationship with God is non-conforming. Okay? And what's happening, he's hindering the still small voice of God because his spiritual intuition is low. Okay? And so since he considers good works to be what makes him righteous, he's prone to reject the Spirit's leading for the opportunity to perform good works in his own power. It's the way the flesh really justifies. Well, I'm doing this good thing, and so I'm good. I'm not disobeying God. I'm in a good place. And so we reject the good God's best for the good. And so then what happens is that the soul submits to the body and rejects what has been revealed as God's will for goodwill. And so goodwill is doing good things man's way rather than God's. Okay, and it's not to say that it's evil. It can be a very good thing in many ways, but if it's not God's way, we miss out. Okay? So here's an example of this. Okay? Say you have a woman who's convicted by the Holy Spirit that she should be involved in a church's soul-winning program. She should try to invite people to church, tell them about God so they can get saved. God's clearly leading her. She's being challenged. She's under conviction. But say he notices this, and she offers her a good alternative to becoming a soul winner. So he points out to an external influence. It might be something as harmless as a church bulletin or the suggestion of a friend that the church needs good singers for the choir. And so knowing that God has blessed her with a good voice, she must weigh her leading. She must choose between God's good leading and an alternative good leading. So she's being led by God to go soul winning. And so this fulfills the command of scriptures and it pleases God. But she's also being told to sing in the choir. And this fulfills a need in the church, and it pleases people. So she chooses to join the choir, not in addition to soul winning, but in place of soul winning. And so she's submitted to the external influences of alternative opportunities. So for the next 30 years, that woman will sing in the church choir, and never again will she feel so strongly compelled to win souls, because she stood at a crossroads of her life, and she submitted to the wrong influences, and her performance in the choir is a substitute for obedience to God's leading. Okay? And so don't understand, singing in the choir is a good opportunity to minister, and if God leads you to join the choir, you should do so immediately. But singing in the choir is not a substitute for doing something different that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Right? So the woman in our illustration will perform week after week in front of the church, but will that ever help her to conform the image of Christ? She's not following God's leading, so it's not working, right? Singing in the choir will never give her the joy and liberty that following God's will would have done. She'll never be fully content because she's living after the flesh instead of the Spirit. She's doing good, but flesh is flesh. And if we're walking after the flesh, we cannot please God no matter how much good we do. Okay? And so most Christians do not even realize how this process affects their lives. They either do not know or they forget that the devil does not mind. Whoops. Okay, I'm not sure what happened. All right, anyways, I'll give it to you here. So the devil, where was I here? The devil does not mind if we do good as long as we do it in our own strength and it's not in obedience to the Spirit of God, okay? And that's the thing, is that we think, well, it's okay if I do good, and well, we're substituting performing for transforming for performing. And so a submissive believer, okay, so submissive believers who are enjoying a dynamic love relationship with Jesus Christ will experience the abundant Christian life, okay? That deep relationship with the Creator brings a level of contentment that nothing else can provide. That's because the fruit or outcome of the Spirit is joy. Okay? So that's the thing. A deep relationship with the Creator brings a level of contentment nothing else can provide. Okay? So when we're being transformed, that is when we're using information merely as fuel to build our personal relationship with God. The result is our confirmation that we love God, we're drawing close to Him, and we're trying to find more about the one that we love. Right? And that's kind of the idea of it. And so through yielding out to the inner man, the presence, leading, and conviction of the Holy Spirit is heard and heeded. And the conviction, challenges, and comfort He brings become a strong force in our lives. So submission to Him brings a rewarding relationship with God. And so this is the abundant Christian life. Okay? But when we're focusing on performing, that is when we're trying to modify our behavior based on a set of rules, steps, or boundaries enforced by external influences, the result is emptiness. Okay? And so what happens is the presence, leading, conviction of the Holy Spirit is weak and is not followed. So trying to act like God in our own power is an incredibly frustrating way to live. And this is not the abundant Christian life, rather it is the redundant Christian life. Okay? And so the problem is that too many Christians cannot discern whether they are performing or transforming. And so we have to be able to tell that. Okay? And so the easiest way to determine is how we respond to these circumstances, these whammies of life, okay? If we're following internal persuasion, then we're developing our inner man through transformation, okay? And so we do not want to miss out on a strong personal relationship with God, okay? And we may be unsure of how the transformed Christian life feels, and some people would reject this and say, well, Christian life is not supposed to be a feeling, but we realize, well, isn't having joy a feeling? Can we feel it when we're expressing love? Doesn't peace feel good? How about goodness and gentleness? They bring a good feeling into our hearts, right? And the thing is that while it's true that feelings should not rule our lives, we do feel good when we're right with God. Okay? And he can testify, as someone that was formerly an alcoholic, that being free from that, temperance feels really good. Okay? And all these things are fruits of the Spirit, and they are a natural result of yielding to His control. Okay? And so to understand the difference between conforming by performing and conforming by transforming on a practical level, we need to understand the fundamental difference between how God acts, how man acts, and how man acts when he is trying to act like God. Okay? And so when we understand how God acts during these whammies, during these difficult circumstances, then we'll see how we're supposed to act while transforming. So likewise, when we see how we act when we're acting like God, we'll be able to determine when we are performing. And so that's going to be what we're going to look at in this next section, okay? Where what we're really going to be focusing on is the fruits of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh, the counterfeits that the devil gives us, okay? So that brings us to the end. So we've got the study questions there. So, it says, Satan lost power when Jesus brought his birth of our new spirit. What is Satan doing to regain his control? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's trying to get us to still follow the outside pressures rather than the inside influence, right? And so the devil's goal is to influence you through outside pressures to overlook your transformation process to your confirmation in a Christ image. So his plan looks good at first, but the lack of an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ will doom us to failure. So can you illustrate how this process usually fails? Yeah, the performance is over, kind of thing. Yes. Yeah. No, exactly. And so, what's the difference between conforming by transforming and conforming by performing? Yes, Gerson? That's certainly true. And so that's what we want to learn, is that we need to realize we can't do it in our own strength. We don't want to do it in our strength. We have to be led of the Spirit. If we're led of the Spirit, we're not going to fill the lust of the flesh, right? And so we need to learn to do that. And we need to be able to identify when we're basically following God's plan or we're following the devil's plan. Okay? All right, so let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these truths. We just thank you that we can just see some of this stuff clearly that we've maybe never really recognized before. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us not to do things in our own strength and power, but in your strength and by your guidance. Just help us, Lord, just use us, and we experience your fruitfulness in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.